and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Fantasy Football University, FFU, coming at you in week one of the regular season. Let's go. Let's go. Tons of hype for this season. I am Mr. Bukusis. I'm here with Mr. Tom Lang. Tom Lang, are you ready for the NFL season?
Yeah. You know, it's wild. We've been obviously doing a lot of off-season chatter and a lot of off-season shows, and you know, before you know it, we are going live for week one. It's amazing. So we're so excited.
It's been so much building up to this. About 100 off-season shows, rankings, previews, injuries, everything else. It's all culminated in today, and we're so excited to be with you. We got a great show planned for you today. So just to catch everybody up, well, we have two main shows a week. We have the waiver shows we drop on Tuesday, and we got the preview start sit show.
Oh wow. Okay.
That we drop on Thursday. That is the show that we have today. We're so excited to be with you. We got the show today. Lots of stuff to get to. Let's jump right in. First of all, before I jump right in, no crazy bits of news the last day or two between waivers and today. I'll just like to mention one major bit of news about the whole Jaylen Warren situation, which we'll get to. And I just want to take a mini victory lap on this idea, and also with the J.K. Dobbins thing about every rookie running back not named Omarion Hampton and Ashton Jeanty as to just completely pump the brakes on. I want to take the victory lap. I know Tommy was mostly on that train too. Just like pump the brakes down after depth charts were announced, et cetera, et cetera. We'll get into the names today, so we can take a mini victory lap there. Any other quick news notes, or let's jump right into this?
No, let's jump right in.
Oh, so
I'm ready to rock.
All right. So just to get everybody going for the week, we cover every single game. We go over every single line, and we talk about every single relevant player. I mean, let's get it rolling. Let's get it rolling. All right. So game one, the Thursday night game, Dallas, Philadelphia, the FanDuel sports line there, 47.5 points. Philadelphia are favorites, -8.5 points. So the implied, not many implied points total there for the Cowboys. So Saquon, you're playing on the Philadelphia side. Saquon, you're playing him. AJ Brown, you're playing him. Jalen Hurts, you're playing him. The Eagles defense, I mean, especially if you drafted them, you're playing them. We're going to get into this a little bit once we talk about Dak. On the Dallas side, CeeDee Lamb, you're playing him. I believe if you believe in some of the other options, I guess you're playing him. But like, we named the guys that there's thoughtless to. So Tommy and I wanted to, this is a specific game that we wanted to kind of mention to everybody here. We identified Dak Prescott as a late round shot in almost every draft, and we have him in the big money league that we shared with everybody. I'm going to be honest with everybody here. I'm not so crazy about playing. I'm feeling scared about playing him, but we're going to play him anyway. Tommy, maybe you can convince me otherwise about Dak and the Dallas offense here.
Yeah, I think honestly, you know, Dak always plays well against Philadelphia. So I, you know, this is their, you know, this is their banner rising drop night, whatever you call it, kind of thing, when they win the championship, the Super Bowl the year prior and whatnot. It sounds like, you know, Philadelphia is locked in, ready to go for this game. I mean, they should be, you know, it should be hyped. Same thing with, you know, Dallas, though. Dallas is healthy. You know, obviously there was a problem where they did trade their best defensive player. You know, but I do think that Dallas is ready to rock, and you know, they've added a bunch of key components to their roster. I think Dallas has a really, really high flying wide receiver crew, pass catching crew. And I, you know, and even let's just put it this way. Say the game starts, Dallas is down 14-0. It's a slow start for Dak Prescott. What are they gonna have to do? They're gonna have to throw the ball. So I would take the opportunity with playing from behind and playing and then trying to get it to a close game, because I guarantee you this game is going to be close by the end of the game. It's going to be a close game.
I mean that's not what the line suggests. The line
yeah
suggests
I don't
it...
I you know line you know line lines are fine, but you know, players play, right? I understand that, you know, there's a lot of emotion.
Use it
Week
as a
one.
reference, but yeah.
Yeah, you use it as a reference, but I'll tell you this, like, it's week one. It's a divisional game. the Cowboys want to rain on the parade of the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, I don't think it's going to happen that way.
Right, the banner ceremony and all that, yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen that way, but I think it's going to be a great game to watch and a great game for both sides of the ball. And let's just also say this, like the defenses could play well, but the offenses can overcome how well the defenses are playing. So I think it's going to be a really good game on both sides of the ball. I'd start Ferguson this week. Ferguson for me is a top 10 tight end. Right now, overall, he's a top 12, so technically he should be on your boards. Personally, I believe there's no reason whatsoever to not start Dak tonight.
Well, listen, I could think of a few reasons, but the very fact that we're
I'd
talking
be
about him like this should let you know that it's not a must start situation, but we're
No.
going to do it. And by the way, let me give you some credit to this.
Let me just say one
Oh yeah,
thing.
go ahead.
I'd be concerned about starting the Eagles defense because the Cowboys are going to put up some points.
That's fine. I would think that for most people who drafted the Eagles defense, they're probably playing them, like especially like they're like
Yeah,
the first or
no,
second
for
defense off
sure.
the
But
board.
if you have an option, I'd probably look that other route. Now, I wouldn't think about taking two defenses to have them on your roster because that's a lot of lost value, but still.
Right. I don't I it that's a difficult the whole situation's a little. You're making me feel better about it. Like, at the very least, Dallas is going to have to pass the ball to stay in this game if they're going to stay in the game. So, which we're obviously we think the Eagles are going to win this game. There's not a I can't see any single scenario in which the Eagles don't win this game. So that does make me feel better about it. And you're right. They got a lot of pass catching weapons in Dallas and no running game and no defense now.
Yeah,
So
I mean, I would
I mean,
say the overall consensus online is that Dak is the 15th ranked quarterback.
I don't know where these consensuses are.
Yeah, well,
Like,
this is just an overall consensus, but I'm just going to say right now, he's going to finish in the top eight this week, and
okay.
it's not the greatest. It's not the greatest matchup, but he does well against basically Philadelphia. I don't see it being a problem.
All right, well, people can take of it what they will. There is some trepidation there. Take of it what you will. In terms of other options, on a team where the implied points total is 28 for Philadelphia, I want as many hits at that as possible. That having been said, I'm guessing if you have got DeVonta Smith, you probably want to try to play him if you've got him. Dallas Goedert, tight end option, perfectly good. I mean, again, 28 implied points for Philadelphia, you try to give it a go. On the Dallas side, under no circumstances would I be playing Javonte Williams in this game, not against the Eagles defense.
Well, let me just say this for Dak, and just we don't have to spend the entire show talking about Dak. But week 9 in 2023, when Dak was healthy, and the Philadelphia Eagles defense was as strong, I'd say, as they are
Oh,
now.
I would not say that, but go ahead.
They're younger now. I think they're pretty much as strong. He was the number 2 quarterback. He had to throw the ball 44 times. Hit 29 for 44. 374 yards, three
I got
touchdowns.
it. He
He was
performs.
sacked 5 times. He was pressured a lot. So,
I don't know if that's relevant analysis. I will say that Dak does tend to perform really well against the Eagles in general.
in
Whether or not
Philadelphia as well, too.
whether or not they win, I'll just say the most recent that we saw Dak, the early part of last year, wasn't so good. That having been said, you and I have been identifying Dak the whole year as a value in the passing game for Dallas as a great value in general. Just say again. We went through the business full disclosure where I'm a little bit scared of it. You guys can judge as it is. The only other option here, so Pickens, I would be kind of trying not to. I don't know how much he's going to be able to support how many multiple options in this particular game. But again,
I mean, if for where you drafted him, I feel like
you probably have other options.
you may have other options, but you may not have other options. Scenarios. I would say this. I personally would probably utilize. I'd probably start Cedric Tillman over Pickens this week, just to see how the system is with Pickens, because you're going to have a floor with Cedric Tillman, especially against the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll go obviously a little bit deeper with that. As we go on.
Oh, we'll
But
get to that game.
yeah, no, for sure. But just for example, I probably would start Tillman over Pickens this week.
Let's move it on. So the Friday night game in Brazil, the Kansas City Chiefs away
I still can't believe they're going to Brazil for this game again.
Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers. They're in Brazil. Kansas City are favorites there, -3 points. The over under is 46.5 points. Implied points total for KC 24, 24 and change, implied for the Chargers 21 and change. Okay, so I mean, if you've got Amari'n Hampton, you're playing him. Pretty simple. Ladidi Mekongkay, if you drafted him, especially where you drafted him, you're playing him. Anybody else on the Chargers side, we'll get to in a minute. On the Chiefs side, the only must start we've got here is Travis Kelce. I guess if you've drafted Patrick Mahomes, you're probably playing him. Especially in a game like this, he's going to want to show out in Brazil in game one. But it's obviously there's a bunch of other quarterback options, maybe. But again, depending on where you drafted, you're probably playing him. Tommy, again, you're the biggest poo-pooer of Xavier Worthy. Give me a reason why I shouldn't play Xavier Worthy in this game.
I mean, I feel like you have to play Xavier
Yeah.
Worthy. He's a value play, especially where he's being drafted as well too. I mean, you don't wanna poo-poo so much on your who you're drafting. You drafted players to play them in specific spots. Obviously, you don't want to overthink certain things. I think Xavier Worthy is gonna have a decent game. He usually has a good week one. Last year he had a good week one, but. So I'd be fine with starting him if I had him. I don't have him anywhere, so I don't really have to take too much time to think about that. But for our listeners, I wouldn't overthink it. Just start him. There's not many options that are ultra talented on the outside, and that can make some dynamic plays. I will say though, one player that I would be fine with starting this week is Isaiah Pacheco. I definitely see him seeing the end zone. I think he's going to get at least anywhere from 12 to 18 touches, which is
Sure.
value, and he could get 60 yards. So 12 to 15 touches, 60 yards, and a touchdown. I could definitely see him hitting pay dirt this week.
There's a lot I could just mention real quick that there's a lot of people, depending on where you drafted them, you probably don't have to start him, but as an option, that's why, like, yeah, I agree with that.
I think anywhere from 15 to 16 points is great RB2 numbers. So I'd be fine with starting him.
Yep. But no, that's I agree with that.
And the Chargers defensive line is not as good as it was. They lost Joey Bosa. It's and so they're not they're they have a good defense, but they have a better secondary than they do a front four.
Back on the Chargers side, Keenan Allen's an option. I would hold off on this one just to see how things are integrating in the Chargers.
I agree. I agree. I think, but if you're in a position where you're
Especially
like, hey,
against the
listen,
Chiefs defense, like.
yeah, well, yeah, but let's just put it, let's look back at the Dallas game. I mean, Dallas, who has a better defense? Like the implied points here are over actually for both teams than Dallas is going against, Philadelphia, right? So like I think, all four of these teams have ultra talented options. I probably wouldn't sit on them if they're high valued assets that you drafted for.
But again, I mean, that's Keenan Allen isn't a high value asset.
No,
So
but there's a lot of upside with him, having the chemistry already, I believe. I think if you have a flex position, you want to take a shot, that's a guy to take a shot. You may not agree with that, but I think that he's going to see anywhere from 7 to 8 targets minimum.
for the record, things going on at like the game. Just judging by the tiny sample size that we have, the one game that we had last year in Brazil, like it was a high scoring affair. The field did not, let's say, necessitate any traction for defenses. So it was very good for offenses. So maybe they end up breaking the over under here. If that's the case, then take more shots on it. But let's mention Justin Herbert. Again, this is another one of these guys. Presumably, if you drafted him, you're going to play him. But you guys can judge it as you see fit. The Chiefs have a good defense, so just be a little bit wary of it. But again, they're playing in Brazil, so maybe nobody plays defense on that field. Let's move it on to the greatest game in the whole wide world. So the New York Giants at the Washington Commanders. The
Trap
Commanders
game.
of the Commanders are favored there, -5.5 points. The FanDuel line is 45.5 points. That gives the Giants only 20 implied points there, not too many. So on the Giants side, you know the deal. You are playing Malik Nabers happily, moving on. And on the Washington side, you're playing Terry McLaurin and you're playing Jaden Daniels. There's some other options here. Let's just get into this. First of all, Tommy and I have had a complete disagreement this past week in certain leagues and stuff regarding the Commanders defense. I'll make the case for the Commanders defense. The line here, the implied points total is 20 points. And it's was kind of fluctuating even less, but below 20 points, depending on the day. Like, things have been bet up and bet down. Tommy thinks otherwise. Tommy thinks the Giants are going to be much more competitive here. Do you still hold to that belief?
I do. I think this is a trap game, and the more I look into it, the reason I feel that way is because the Commanders have been looking forward to week two already. Their last 3 days in practice have been practicing for the Packers, and so they're looking
We don't
past
know
it.
that.
No, there's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of and it's this coach speak about this, and players been talking about it. I believe that this is a trap game. The Giants' defense is the real deal. They don't have the greatest secondary. They have, I'd probably say, like, maybe towards the high 20s, like towards the end of the pack secondary. But their front eight are is very good. So I would not be surprised if the Giants make this a game. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but there is a very, very high chance that they can, if they apply pressure. And I think one player that really needs to get involved in this game, if for the Commanders to make it past, make this whole thing not a thing anymore, is that I think Debo needs to be a big part of it. He's a flashy player that basically they traded for. He's going to be a vital piece of their offense, especially with Brian Thomas being shipped away. I don't think that you're going to see too much of a solo running back field. I think a lot of people forgot about Debo being a running back at times. I think that he's going to be that primary back there. Not
He's not
primary
going to be
back
a
there.
primary
No,
back,
sorry.
right?
He's going to be that primary like gadget player back there. He's going to be out. He's going to be out, in the slot. He's going to be out in the out, basically wide. He's going to be a wide out. But he's also going to be in the backfield. And I think that, if Daniels is not running for his life every single play, which can happen, because that pressure can really get to him quick, he has to be a big, big role in that.
A couple things to touch on, and we'll talk about the players. So, like, in my opinion, if the Giants make it a game, it's going to be because of their defense. So it, like, meaning it's not going to be a shootout, which to me bolsters the Commanders' defense as an option even more.
I think
So,
the Giants offense is going to bring something to the table too. I
all
think
right,
they're going to be a bit creative.
that one I'm not going to
All right.
agree
Well,
with you
and
whatsoever.
that's why it's called Any Given Sunday.
Any given Sunday, indeed. All right, on the Giants side, again, other than Nabers, is there anybody you'd be? I mean, if you drafted Tyrone Tracy, I
You
would.
drafted him. You
You
drafted
drafted in a
Tyrone.
position where you don't have to play him. I
No,
would.
yeah, you drafted Tyrone Tracy, and you got to wait on Cam Scataboo to see what kind of like role he's going to be
Yeah, that's
playing.
a good point. Maybe wait and see
I think
here.
Scataboo, through the season, is going to have a better value based on his ADP and where you drafted him than Tyrone Tracy. I think Tyrone Tracy, I mean, if he's if you punted running back, which we told you not to, but if you punted running back completely, and he's your RB1 or RB2, well,
Well,
you're
then you're
completely
playing him.
starting him.
Yeah.
But but if you didn't, and you followed the math, and you did the right thing, then Tyrone Tracy is your RB3, RB4 maybe. So,
I will say on the other side, like, I would be trying really hard to play Austin Eckler. This is his kind of game. They have 26.
same Same thing. I'd be a little cautious
Disagree with
about
it.
that.
He has
I think
26 implied. The Washington Commanders have 26 implied points. He's going to be the guy. They already released the thing. The hype about JCM was completely overblown. Yeah, Chris Rodriguez is going to be involved, but Austin Eckler is going to be the guy, especially the first part of the season. This is game one. They're big favorites against the Giants. This is it. I mean,
I would wait and see. I would not. I mean, again, Eckler could, have 8 to 10 touches. I think that's his flo that I think this pretty much is his
he's the
height.
starting running back for what? Okay. He's the starting running back for
It's gonna be a
Washington.
complete crapshoot back there, man.
Yeah, I disagree. I can tell you who it's not. It's not going to be JCM. So everybody who drafted him in the sixth
Yeah, it's
round
gonna
or
be Chris
something.
Rodriguez.
Yeah, it definitely isn't. In terms of, but I do agree about Debo. If you got Debo, I think definitely a great flex option. Again, depending on whatever other options you've got. Again, Washington's favored by a lot. They got a high implied points total. Rock and roll with the Washington Commanders. Zach Ertz is always a vet option if you need it at tight end. Definitely available on your waiver wires probably if you don't otherwise have it. All right, let's move it on. Finally we get to the Sunday. We get to the meat here. So the Carolina Panthers at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jacksonville are the favorites. They are -3.5 points. The over under 46.5 points. So Carolina, you're starting Chuba Hubbard. We'll get to all the other options. Jacksonville, you're playing Brian Thomas. We'll have a conversation about all the other options here. So Carolina side, I don't know how you sit Tet McMillan if you took that shot there. But apparently I've been looking around, apparently consensus online seems to be that if you didn't draft him as your wide receiver one or two, then most people aren't taking that shot. So I don't know. To me, it's like go for it, man. After the Coker situation, after they traded away Thielen, the number one guy like I don't know how you don't take that shot. Like,
Yeah, I think you have to take that shot because obviously they are an ascending offense. We saw it last year, especially, Adam Thielen really popped off last year at a, coming off that injury. I think, having a young guy come in, for Tet to really come in there and basically take over that role, I think it's gonna be a great thing. I think obviously it's a really great opportunity for Xavier Leggett to flash as well too. I think there's, I think honestly this point this score is going to overpredict. It's going to go over on the implied point totals. I think both defenses are not as great, and I think that
they're
they have
two of
some,
the worst in the league, right?
yeah, and they have some really good creative offensive play callers. So I think that there's going to be, a lot of points scored in this game. I would love to get on this game if I had an opportunity to, basically plug and play some of these players. But yet again, I probably would go, take a lot of the overs in some of these which we'll call it player props and whatnot.
Yeah, so like we said, Tet is I don't know how you don't play him. Leggett is a deep flex option if you need it. Again, he taken over the wide receiver two role now for Carolina after after that situation. And I just wanted to highlight the because he's kind of a darling online. So Jatavion Sanders, he was a rookie tight end last year, showed a little bit of flash. So just keep an eye on it. Obviously, he's going to be on everybody's waiver wire, but he has the feeling of a guy like Tommy mentioned in a nice game where there's bad defenses. Maybe he could have a good week one, and then everybody's scrambling for him on the waiver wire. Jacksonville side. So, like we said, obviously you're playing Brian Thomas. So, Travis Etienne and the Travis Etienne Tank Bigsby co-starter depth chart nonsense. So, if it's me, I don't play either of them. I wait and see how things are looking. If I had to play somebody, it would be Travis Etienne because we believed in Travis Etienne, like as a bounce back, he's going to go back to his old form situation. So, take your shots as they will, but you probably don't have to play either of them depending on where you drafted them. Do
I
you
mean,
take
I'd probably play Travis Etienne.
the shot on Travis Hunter here?
Well, depth charts have proven that he is the wide receiver too. Now, is that going to hold throughout the entire season? I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens with their defense. You know, when some of their defensive players start going down, then he's the best option to be, you know, basically put into the game. But for week one, I think he's a valid flex option. I think he's not a wide receiver one. He's not a wide receiver two. You drafted him technically. You paid for him for a wide receiver two, or flex. So, or a high flex. So I think that he's a low flex opportunity this week, especially with the defenses. I'd be comfortable playing him. I'd be more confident in playing him in, like, say, you know, daily fantasy than plug him in one of my lineups. But if I was forced to start him, I'd probably do it. You know, if I wouldn't look elsewhere. I mean, let me ask you this. I know we used this guy earlier, but, like, would you utilize Cedric Tillman, or would you, because obviously he is a guy that most likely is still on the waiver wire right now, or he could be on your last wide receiver taken. Would you start Cedric Tillman, or would you start you know, Travis Hunter?
Cedric Tillman. But again, I'm lower than people are on Travis Hunter in general. So I'm not gonna poo-poo if people want to take that shot. Like, I mean, you drafted him with some excitement. So I mean, people want to be excited in week one. They want to get in the guys that they're excited about. I'm not gonna fault them for that. But I would not. I would, to your point, I would not. You know, I'll just say this, you know, in a game where Jacksonville's implied points total is upwards of 25 points, I mean, yeah, some people want to try to get some pieces there. I mean, which is interesting considering Brian Thomas is the only must start in the game. Let's just mention Brenton Strange. I think he's a perfectly good tight end option if you drafted him late in drafts or if he's on waivers or something. So if you need that plug and play, go for it. And Trevor Lawrence, like, this is a like we kind of identified Trevor Lawrence as being good for the first couple games of the year. Great matchups. It remains to be seen what's going to be happening in Liam Cohen's offense and how, you know, Jacksonville's going to be. I'll tell you this, against the Panthers defense, it's probably going to look good. Trevor Lawrence is a great option, I think, for week one. I mean, presumably where you drafted him, maybe you don't have to have started him. Maybe he's lurking on waiver wires or something, but if you need an option, he's gonna. I like he's to me. He it's funny. He was very close to must start for me. A guy that was drafted like the 14th or 15th quarterback or something. So considering how that game's gonna go, I know you know Dyami Brown's one of our sleeper, one of your what you called him out in the waiver show. Definitely now is probably just a wait and see type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not gonna start Dyami Brown.
But there we
No,
go.
but I think he's a you know, he's definitely somebody to keep an eye on throughout the season.
Yeah, but there we go. Let's move it on to the other best game in the whole wide world. So we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the New York Jets. Pittsburgh are favorites there, -2.5 points. I'm going to be at this game. The over under there is 38.5 points. Man, this is going to be a good game. Both defenses, first of all, the Steelers are a must start defense. The Jets are a perfectly good option if you want to go that route. It's considering how low the over-under is, the implied points total for the Jets is 18 points. I just want to point out this game, we identified, especially in 4-point touchdown leagues, Justin Fields as a late round quarterback value. Great after week one. Not like so not this. This is so not the week for it. So, you know, find another option. We're calling out other options as we see fit. On the Steelers side, again, with the not with the with the declaration from the Steelers, the vote of confidence and the contract and everything else for the running back position. I don't know how you sit Jaylen Warren. Again, I'm only scared a little bit of the over under there because it's a little bit of a it's a low over under, but I get you play him. DK Metcalf, you drafted him, you're playing him. And like we said, the Steelers defense, you're playing it. On the Jets side.
I will say this though too. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to try to shine this you know, against this defense. I mean,
I think he's going to try.
well, here's the thing, right? He practiced against this defense the past pretty much 2 seasons. You know, he was injured obviously 2 years ago. But, you know, he played against this defense in practice every single day. So he knows some of these flaws. And he's a smart guy, man. Like, he may not be as mobile as he used to be, but he's a smart guy. He makes good decisions. I think that he's going to be able to make some good plays. And I think Is he going to tell where, you know, is he going to tell DK to, you know, juke this way when he knows that, you know, he's being covered by a specific player? Now, I think Gardner is a very, very fantastic option, you know, at cornerback, you know, that can pretty much, you know, hold DK down. But I don't know. I mean, I think that it's I think it's gonna be a fun game to watch, to be honest. I don't think it's gonna be as low scoring as it's implied. I think there's, you know, I they should get into the mid 40s combined.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the same confidence. Again, being a Jets fan and seeing every single game, I know exactly how bad or how good the team is in certain areas. I see Aaron
Say
Rodgers
the same
going
thing
in
about the
there.
Giants.
I see Aaron Rodgers going in there. I think he'll be lucky if he throws two touchdowns. He'll be lucky if he crosses 240 yards or something. It's not it, it I think the Steelers, I don't I think the Steelers win the game. I think it's going to be a very low scoring game. And but again, like it's we're kind of referencing like different lines. We're calling out what we see. On the Jets side, if you drafted Garrett Wilson, you're playing him. And the one thing you're going to bank on is getting those targets. It's probably going to be an ugly game from the Jets side. So just maybe close your eyes as it happens. In terms of other options here, I don't know how you play anybody else in this game, especially on the Jets side. I mean, Breece Hall, where you drafted him, presumably you don't have to, but man, and but like he's in a position where he's like your running back too, I would be trying so hard to not play him in this game, man. They're going to get it's going to be such a slop for the Jets offense. I mean, do you have any optimism for Breece Hall?
I mean, I've been, you know, against Breece Hall this entire offseason.
Well, for
So,
the whole season, I think it's going to be better, but this is week one.
no, I think it's going to be a committee attack and it's going to start from day one. So, I mean, if you got him, you got to play him. You know,
Yeah.
you drafted him as, you know, your RB1. You know, some people draft him as RB1. You know, I just don't see it. So, you really can't overthink it. There's nobody on the waivers right now to start. Outside, unless for some reason Jerome Ford is out on the waivers for you, like go pick him up and play him.
Yeah. And that goes for the tight ends too. So for Freiermuth or Janu, I would not be playing either of them in this
Yeah,
game, but they're gonna
you have to see like
how
kind of
that's
like
gonna
how they're
go.
gonna utilize Janu, to be honest. Freiermuth, I'm a little nervous
No.
about. I think Janu has a better opportunity to overshine Freiermuth this year.
And we love Mason Taylor, but now's not the game for him. Let's just see how the Jets look. Let's get through the Steelers and then we'll go from there.
What I mean, what how do you feel about Warren though?
I just said Jalen Warren. Like, absolutely, I don't know how you don't play him, especially
Yeah,
with the
I
vote of
mean,
confidence.
so you know, I just want to talk about him real quick because honestly, like, there are people that are like a little scarce on starting Jalen Warren. I think that he's a great option this week. I think he's going to get a lot of dump offs. I think he's going to, especially in a PPR or half point PPR format, it's a great opportunity to basically get some catches. I don't think he's. I think he, you know, it's a flip of a coin if he's going to see the end zone. Because I really think that you know, if they're gonna score touchdowns, I don't really think they're gonna do it on the ground. I think they're gonna do a lot of it through the air. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised seeing, you know, Rodgers throw two plus touchdowns.
The Jets defense is better at pass defending than it is run defending. But Jalen, it doesn't really matter. Jalen Warren's a great runner and he's a great pass catcher. It's the only thing that scares me about that is because I didn't have him initially in the must starts. I had him like basically on the cusp of that. Is basically my fear is how low the over under is. It's going to be limited work to go around. So, like if Metcalf ends up having a good game because of, you know, good targets or maybe he gets a touchdown or something. After that, it's going to be kind of a spattering otherwise. You know Warren's going to be the guy. It's going to be such a defensive game in my opinion, but again, the vote of confidence is there and we like Warren.
Week one.
It's week one. All right, let's move to the next game here. Another little bit of a slog, maybe we'll see. So we've got the Las Vegas Raiders at the New England Patriots. The Patriots are the favorites there, -2.5 points. The over under is 43.5 points. Not too many points to go around. You know, the Patriots defense is an option. It's not the best option that you could have. So just keep that in mind. All right. So on the Raiders side, you're playing Ashton Juntie, you're playing Brock Bowers. on the Patriots side, you are playing Travion Henderson, presumably, if you drafted him. I personally, I would try not to, but I guess if you drafted him in the third or fourth round, you're.
I think it's a great start for him.
I
I think
guess.
it's gonna pop off so hard this week. It's gonna be amazing.
Okay. I think it's a bit overblown. I just took my victory lap with the stuff
He's
Stevenson
gonna
is going
finish.
to.
He's gonna finish as an RB1 this week.
I'm going to take a bet right now that I think Stevenson has more touches than Travion Henderson in this game.
That's fine. Henderson will still finish as an RB1.
Now we'll find out.
He'll finish in the top 12.
The Raiders side. So, I would try not to be playing any of the wide receivers right now, although let's keep an eye on Dante Thornton to see how he's progressing. Maybe
Yeah,
he
we
gets
have to
more
see how
into the offense.
he's utilizing that offense. I think if he's utilized as an outside guy and he's in at least 70 plus percent of the snaps, I don't think he's going to be. I think he's probably going to be 50%, especially this early on. But if he's in 70%, I'm intrigued to basically potentially plug him in down the road.
I would normally speaking, if nothing else was going on, Jacoby Myers would have been a darling of mine the entire was a darling of mine the entire off season, but it kind of fell off during draft season because of all this talk about the contract and trading and all this stuff. Otherwise, I would be all on this train. So otherwise, so there's nothing. It's just nothing but fear and pessimism about the situation. On the New England side, I would be waiting to see how Diggs does. Given the injury, he's coming back or whatever, and whatever else was going on with boats and everything else on the off season.
I'd be more intrigued to start the running game for the Patriots than I would any pass catchers outside of Hunter Henry.
I agree. Now, Hunter Henry is perfectly good tight end option. We called it out. He always seems to have a good week one. He's always top on the list of tight ends, probably most likely to catch a touchdown. If you need it, you judge your tight ends as they are. Drake May, he's a per if you drafted him with the idea of upside. So if you believe in it, I mean, go for it. But not the greatest over under. And again, for me, a lot of the Patriots offense, it's a lot of wait and see. I want to see how the wide receivers look. I want to see how Drake May looks. I want to see how they integrate the running backs. So we pointed out the guys that you want to take as they are. Tommy, you'd rather play the Patriots defense than the Commanders defense as an option.
Yeah,
Okay.
100%. I'm still rolling with that.
I don't know how you don't play the Commanders defense, but we'll move on from that. All right, let's move it on. So we've got the Arizona Cardinals at the New Orleans Saints. Arizona are the away favorites, -6.5 points. The over under there is only 42.5 points. Not a lot of points for the New Orleans Saints. Cardinals defense is among the best to be played this week. You play your Cardinals defense. Other players on the Cardinals side, James Conner, you're playing him. Marvin Harrison, you're playing him. Trey McBride, you are playing him. In a game where the implied points total for the Cardinals is 24, 25 points. In that kind of a game, you play your guys. Saints side, Alvin Kamara and nobody else. Oh my God. The Saints are going to be so bad this year. Kamara's going to break his back trying to carry the team this year. Oh my God.
I do think that, Rattler is gonna have a decent first half, but then it's gonna come to light in the second half.
You with this Rattler love.
I'm not saying I'm saying yards, not touchdowns.
Okay. Yeah, take of that what you will, everybody. So, just a quick mention on the Arizona side. So, keep an eye on the for the future. Keep an eye on the wide receiver two situation, and keep an eye on how things look with Benson and with Connor. Connor's not going to last forever. Benson was a highly touted guy. He had a chance to flash a little bit last year. Just keep an eye on it for the future. Let's move it on. We've got the Cincinnati Bengals at the. This is going to be such a good game. Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Cincinnati -5.5 points. The over under there is 47.5 points. Basically, you're starting everybody for the Bengals here. The implied points total for them is like at 26, 27 points.
Yeah, there's no question about hey, do I start T. Higgins this week?
Yeah,
Yes,
you're
you
playing him.
start T. Higgins this week.
Chase Brown, you're playing him. Ja'Marr Chase, you're playing him. T. Higgins, you're playing him. Joe Burrow, you are playing him. On the Cleveland Browns side, This is where it gets interesting. So obviously you're going to be playing David Njoku, who's the best friend of Joe Flacco. Now, we don't have it in must-start category, but if it's me and I've got either Judge Judy or Cedric Tillman, I'm trying to get them in this game. I really am. The Bengals defense is awful.
Both, I mean, I think Judy is an wide receiver two play this week. He could put up a wide receiver one numbers this week. I think there is a great
Absolutely.
opportunity for a lot of points to be scored in overall throughout this week. Sometimes, through seasons, it's been, week one has always been a little light. But since players have been playing in preseason, I think there's going to be a lot of scoring, and it's going to be very, very fantasy relevant. So I'd be comfortable with throwing, as I said earlier, Cedric Tillman in my flex if I am kind of worried about that position and I don't have stability there.
Yeah, I
Your
don't
own
see how.
Ford, I'd feel really good about starting him, to be
Yeah,
honest.
I wanted to. I left him off. I wanted to just have a 2 second discussion about it. Yeah, against an awful defense. If you're gonna play him now, I mean, especially when he's got the backfield, when he's the guy, I think people's trepidation with it is like, so the chatter has been that Dylan Sampson is gonna be a significant contributor, which he will be, but I don't think Sampson is gonna be 50-50 with him or anything. You're playing, like we
No.
said, you're playing the Bengals defense in a game that they're going to score a lot of points. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you got Ford and you need to get him in there, I don't see why. I'd rather play Ford than Tyrone Tracy, for example. You may already.
100%.
By the way,
100%.
we one of the things we were mentioning in our draft, for example. So here's another example of a quarterback you could probably get right off the waiver wire in a 6-point passing touchdown league and be just fine for week one. Joe Flacco, against a horrendously bad Bengals defense in a game where lots of points are going to be scored, perfectly good option for you if you need it. And you could probably get him right off the waiver wire. How long Flacco lasts later in the season, we don't know, but definitely could do worse. I wanted to point out, because this was a thing online, so Mike Gesicki isn't always an option at tight end. It's such a shot. I've gotten to the point where I think it's a bridge too far. I mean, he could have a week where he finishes as the number one tight end, but they've got all these other options. You got Chase and Higgins who are going to completely pepper with targets. I would stay away from it. I just mentioned it because there's a whole section of the online community that is obsessed with him. So I just thought I'd address that. Anybody else from this game? I mean, I'm trying to get as many Bengals as I can on the field. Like,
No, I think
we
we've gone over
exhausted
the
it, yeah.
two wide receivers. I
Yeah.
think there are options. I mean, Njoku is definitely the only like 100%
Oh.
start. But
He's gonna
I'd
have a good
be
game.
happy with, I'd be fine with starting Ford this week
Sure.
as an RB2 if needed. And that's again if your roster shows that you need, a spotlight RB2. Or if you're looking for upside with a flex, I think he's a great opportunity to plug in there as well too. Same thing goes with those wide receivers over there.
Let's go to the next game. We've got the Miami Dolphins at the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts are favored there, -1.5 points. The over-under is 46.5 points. The Dolphins, you're playing Devon Achane. You're playing Tyreek Hill. The Colts side, you are playing Jonathan Taylor. The other options here, man, I mean, we've definitely got some good options. So the Dolphins, me personally, I'm excited about Jaylen Waddle. I can understand people not just wanting to throw him in right away because of everything that he's put you through the last 2 years. I think this is it. But again, you don't hear what I'm not saying. It doesn't mean that you play him over X, what other guys that you might have as really good options. So take of that with a grain of salt. The Colts side, if you drafted Tyler Warren, I feel like you play him, you put him right in, and you rock and roll with him. He's going to be the number he I don't know how he's not, if not the number one, the one or 1A target for Daniel Jones and the Colts. And by the way, Daniel Jones himself is an option. In a game in which they're favored, when some points are looking to be scored, when he's got some rushing upside. I mean, Daniel Jones or I mean, if it's Daniel Jones or Justin Fields, to me, it's not even a question. You play Daniel Jones, for example.
Yeah, I mean, defensive wise, I definitely would say that. But I mean, again, with the upside for Justin Fields, it's, again, it's a double-edged sword. Like both players, both quarterbacks in the Jets game, Jets Steelers game, have played for opposite, teams last year, and they understand their defensive,
God
kind of
bless the
position.
schedule makers. Here's a question for you. So,
I really hope you're not in that position to like have to make that decision week one, but hey, some of us are.
some of us are. Here's a
Ask,
question.
and this is, and no shame about it, right? When we drop, when this video is dropped and you have questions, just add it in the comments and we'll answer
Yes.
questions. That's a big thing. Like, we will be going Sunday live, to discuss like basically like start sits and players ins and outs and
Emergency injuries and stuff,
yeah,
if anything
but
is out.
like. Stash away those comments and ask those questions. We'll help you. We'll help you like make that decision. I mean, if you are in that position because you punted the quarterback position, we can help out with that. Same goes with every other position.
Yeah, so but bringing it back to him specifically, yeah, like Tommy mentioned, he's an option for those of which who needed to who punted that and need to make that and need to insert him into that. He's definitely a good option. Wide receiver options for Indianapolis. Are you okay starting either one of them? You want to wait and see?
I would rather wait and see, but if I was forced to start somebody, I'd feel better about starting Pittman
Then
this week.
downs. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think it's because Daniel Jones, I mean, pass catcher, obviously Warren, he's in there. Daniel Jones does atypically target the bigger bodied guy. It got that bigger body guy, and I think that Pittman is kind of like his go-to kind of look.
Maybe. I'm on the side of Downs. I think Downs is just a better route runner. I think he's a better receiver in general. Tua, as a quarterback option, I think that there's better options. But again, like one thing the Dolphins do is they beat up on bad teams. So if you think that the Dolphins are going to run away with this game, which Vegas does not think,
No,
then
I think it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a
yeah.
fun game to watch. I mean, there's a lot of really fun games to watch this week. As we go through the schedule, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm it's I'm so excited. So excited.
I'm excited too, and I'd be trying to not play Tua.
And you're going to
Let's.
be unfortunately watching a game live, at the Giant Stadium.
At MetLife Stadium, very good. Let's move on to the next game. We've got the. This is going to be a great game. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. Tampa Bay -1.5. The over under there is 47.5 points. By the way, I think I mentioned it at the top. We're doing all of our lines and all of our over unders based on FanDuel. So thank you, FanDuel, for us. So this is going to be a great game, and this is I've got more to say about this game later. So I want as many pieces into this game as I can. This is one of my most look forward to games of the week. So Tampa Bay side, Bucky Irving, you're playing him. Mike Evans, you're playing him. Baker, you are playing him. On the Atlanta side, Bijan Robinson, you're playing him. Drake London, you are playing him. Some of these other tertiary options, I'd be looking to try to shove them in there. So, for example, on the
Emeka
Atlanta,
Buka, I'm starting all day long.
I was going to say, on the Atlanta side, I'm trying to shove in Kyle Pitts, and on the Tampa Bay side, I'm trying to get in Ibuka wherever I can. I got it. You probably drafted him as like your wide receiver three-ish. Try to get him in, man. This is going to be a great game.
Ibuka, in he I have him in, I think, about 80% of leagues. He's in every single roster spot.
Yeah. We don't have, by the way, just to mention on the other tight end situation. So, Cade Otton, we're not sure if he's gonna play. Obviously, if he doesn't play, you don't play him. But even if he is in, I would not.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would.
I would
I yeah.
hold off
I
on
would
that.
wait. I'd wait. I'd pump the brakes on him. He obviously did really well when he was the primary target. And then when there was at least one or two other targets out there, he faded drastically. So I just he's not a viable tight end option for me.
And this is a great game to just keep an eye on. Let's see how Michael Penix looks. Let's see him
10-15.
Michael Penn 15. I mean, let's see. I'm excited. We think he can support London. We've identified Pitts as a good late round option this year. We'll see if he could support it. And again, if Penix wows us and he keeps it going throughout the year, maybe he ends up being a streaming quarterback for us. So that's gonna be such a good game. I'm excited for that one. And let's put a pin in that too for that game. I want to mention something about that later on in the show. So let's go to the next game. We've got the Tennessee Titans at the Denver Broncos. This is going to be a slaughter. The Denver Broncos -8.5 points. The over under there is 42.5 points. Man, that's nothing for the Titans. Titans implied points total is 17 points. Denver side, you're playing Courtland Sutton, you're playing Bo Nix, and please play the Broncos defense. Play them and enjoy your little victory there. On the Tennessee side, man, if I had Tony Pollard, I'd be worried. I know he's got the whole backfield to himself with the Tajay Spears thing, but I'd be trying not to play him. Am I wrong to be worried, or just take the volume, or what do you think?
Yeah, I'd be a little worried. I think, Denver's defense is very, very good. And they are a top three defense. So I'd be a little concerned. I mean, if you got him, I wouldn't, you got to play him, unless you have a better option. But I'd be a little concerned about Pollard this week. One player that I'd feel comfortable with starting this week, and in one league, I'm forced to start him because of somebody sniped me on my tight end in one of our home leagues. But I'm forced to start Chig Okonkwo, and Chig,
There's
I
worse
feel
options. There's worse options.
there are a lot of worse options. I think Chig is going to get a lot of volume in this game because they're going to be playing from behind. I think that he has an opportunity to basically, be in the top 15 tight ends this week. Again, that's not great. But he could have some explosive plays. It could be a really good opportunity, especially, even if they're playing behind by 17, 18, 17 to 20 points, which can happen. They're going to have to throw the ball. They're going to have to figure out ways to get the ball down the field. I don't think this is a shutout. I think, I honestly think that there's going to be some late round, late game, scores, for Tennessee. And it's going to have to come through the air. I don't really think they're going to get on the goal line. If they get on the goal line, they're going to be forced to have to throw the ball because their defense is too powerful. I think Chig could have a really nice week this week. He for me is kind of like, a streaming option opportunity to, plug in for week one.
You're willing it into existence because you had to draft Chig Okonkwo. It's like, if I don't know if you'd be talking this much about
No,
Chig if you didn't have to pick him up in
I
that league.
prior to this week and the past 2 weeks, we were, and also in our ranking show, we were talking about
We did
Chig.
identify him,
Yes,
yes.
we did identify him. He is right now, overall ranked 20th tight end. So he is your aforementioned streaming tight end, and he's your kind of like, all right, let's figure this out. But again, what did we say? How many top 12 tight ends were there last year?
Well over 50. It was 50 something.
Okay, well,
Yeah.
it's week one.
Right. So let's see how many. There'll be 32.
I'll tell you something right now. There
or
probably
12 anyway.
be, let's just say you look at the top 10. There probably, when it comes down to rankings, there'll probably be about five or six guys outside the top 10 in the top 10 this week.
May it probably it's basically for a lot of the
And
lower
I'll
end
take my
tight.
shot. I'll take my shot.
A lot of, for a lot of the lower end tight ends, it's did you luck into a touchdown? And also there's a gap. So like if the tight end 6 through the tight end 16, they all have
Yeah, I don't, and
eight
again,
to
I don't
ten
think,
points, then
honestly,
it's
I don't think Chig is going to see the end zone. I don't think he's going to see pay dirt, but I do think he's going to get targets.
spending
So,
way too much time talking about him as the tight end
hey,
15.
we gotta spend some time talking about a player on
Right.
Tennessee.
Well, I wanted to mention another player on Tennessee. So you love Ridley. I liked Ridley, but I think we both agree this is not the game for him. So just let's maybe take
It's
your.
going to be a little rough.
It's gonna be rough. And
It's going to
also,
be a little rough, but
it's game one in which Tennessee is away at one of the best defenses in the league. No. It's a no. Let Cam Ward get his feet under him a little bit before we start rolling with that. And like we said, Pollard, I'd be trying not to, but you might have to. He will have the whole backfield. On the Denver side, some other options. If I have J.K. Dobbins, this is the game to play him, where they're this favored at home, where they're going to be crushing them. They're going to want to use the game, and he's the starter. How long he lasts starter for is another question. I'd be trying to play him if I have him. But you pro again, depending on where you draft him, you probably have better options.
If he fumbles the ball,
Ugh.
that's a problem.
I'd hit
He may not see the field again.
Sean Payton might bury him in the desert if that happens. Tertiary options for Denver. I like Marvin Mims as a shot, and this is probably a decent enough game for that. But honestly, I'd like a game in which their opponent is going to be a bit more competitive. It feels like a game that they
I
could just
think
try to run.
It's going to come to second half and they're going to be running the ball a lot. So I think that if you're looking for a shot, your ceiling is probably four targets to Mims.
Well, in a game like this, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Which is
I
you
mean,
want more targets. Yeah.
you want more targets or opportunities. I just don't know if it's the game to actually plug them in.
Evan Ingram, if you drafted him, you're probably playing him. But like I said, if if it's me, it's like, okay, I'd love a game where they're gonna be in a bit more competitive of a game. But again, if you drafted him, you're probably playing him.
Yep.
Let's go to the San Francisco 49ers at the Seattle Seahawks. San Francisco minus 2.5 points. The over under there is 43.5 points. I think the 49ers are a decent defensive shot this week. The implied points total for the Seahawks is only 20 points. On the 49ers side, you're playing Christian McCaffrey. If you drafted him, rock and roll, let's go. And you're playing George Kittle. On the Seattle side, if you drafted JSN, you are playing JSN. If I drafted Ken Walker, I guess I'm playing Ken Walker, but man, the man is a piece of glass. So, I mean,
Yeah.
keep an eye on what happens this week. If
If you
any,
drafted Ken Walker at his ADP, good luck.
oh my gosh, it, I guess, yeah, but let's be real to the people who drafted him. If you drafted him, you're probably playing him. I
And
just hate it.
I hope you have Charbonnet.
I really do. And most people don't. Okay, I looked at the stats of it. It's like 20 or 30% that's like it is.
That's rough. That's very rough.
Tertiary options here. If I drafted Pearsall, I'm going to be trying to get him in. I mean, I'm excited about it. Jennings hasn't practiced the whole offseason. There's no other
Well,
wide receivers
the
there.
yeah, he hasn't practiced all offseason, but Shanahan said that he's basically targeted to play week one. Now I
Right.
don't, and again, I going back
How
to last
much?
week, going back to the other conversation we had about Jennings, I just don't see it. I don't see him flashing week one. I don't see him flashing pretty much. He'll kind of be up and down. They have a lot of opportunity out there. I think Pearsall is going to steal a lot of targets. And I think Pearsall is the better wide receiver.
I think he's more up and coming. If, like I said, I was all on the Jennings train until it just turned out he wasn't practicing and the whole contract thing. And then I gave it up at that point. And I think the damage has been done. I think it's also likely he gets traded at some point. He'll get traded at the exact point that IU comes back, something like that. So, I mean, for all those reasons, I would love to take the shot on
Well,
Pearsall.
that's why they're not paying Jennings, because they already paid Ayuk a lot of money.
I would love to take a shot on Pearsall if you can. Just judge your options as they are. The Seattle side, like we said, if you draft a Walker, I guess you're probably playing them. JSN, you're playing them.
Ugh.
I don't want to play anybody else for the Seahawks in this game, not against the 49ers defense here. Stay away from Darnold. Cooper Kupp, where you drafted him, probably going to get some targets. You'll probably be excited about him, but I would try not to play him here.
Yeah, no, I think Kupp is I mean, again, he was traded within the division as well too. He obviously knows the 49ers. I think he's a nice flex opportunity. But again, if I have I most likely have better options to start at flex than Cooper Kupp right now. Cooper Kupp is like kind of like a wait and see.
Let's go to the next game.
I don't
We've
have
got
any shares of Cooper Kupp, by the way.
no, which is weird considering you like him.
I love Cooper Kupp. I think he's a great talent. I think he's a fantastic wide receiver. I just want to see what kind of, opportunity he brings to the table with this new system.
I remember saying in the offseason, I was like, Sean McVay is smart. He would not have gotten rid of Cooper Kupp if he thought he had the stuff needed left in the tank to contribute. But
No, but they basically
yeah.
they got the gadget wide receiver in, in Nacua, and they were looking for different opportunity.
You say that with such a backhanded backhanded praise. Gadget wide receiver Puka
Well,
Nacua. You have hated Puka.
yeah, and I think the reason why I hate
He's
I haven't
great.
liked well, I won't say hate. The reason why I haven't liked Puka is because he stole everything from Cup. He literally stole the Cup role.
Yes, he did, but Puka's great. He just on sheer talent and a bit like
Yeah,
but and to me
he's
I and to me
Puka is, my feelings aside, take my feelings
which
aside, Puka is Cooper Kupp in his prime.
no, to
Yes.
completely disagree. First of all, we're gonna skip to that game once we just get through. But I just want to as I love Puka so much. To me, he is the perfect representative of that is what a football player is. Just every play gives his complete all. He fell the way that he did because in the combine, great, he didn't have the best 40. He didn't have the best. Who cares? You see him on the field, he runs away from people, bodies people.
Yeah.
Like it's not a gadgetry. It's just him being better. It's just whatever. You can poo-poo it all you want. So let's
I
skip
mean,
to the
he's gonna play 15 games every single season or less.
Well, let's skip to that game. So we've got the Houston Texans at the LA Rams. The LA Rams are the favorites there, -3 points. The over under is 43.5 points. So you could take the Rams defense as a shot if you need it. On the Houston side, you're playing Nico Collins, and I mean, you're happy about it because you got Nico Collins. We'll get to the other options in a minute. On the Rams side, you're playing Kyron Williams, and you are playing Puka Nacua. Despite the nonsense that Tommy does not like about him, other options, I guess. Here's the deal: if you drafted Devontae, you're probably playing him in a game like this. I've been so low on Devontae this whole offseason, but again, I'm not. I'm happy to mention that you're probably playing him if you have him. Although, just be a little wary in a game like this; it could be more of a defensive struggle. It's only 43.5 points. On the Houston side, I would say keep an eye on Jaden Higgins. I would not be playing him here, but
No.
keep an eye in general as to like what the wide receiver two is going to be. I know you're a Kirk guy. We'll kind of just wait and
Yeah,
see.
I mean, they traded for Christian Kirk. I mean, I think he's gonna have a vital role in that offense. He's gonna have an awesome role in that offense.
If you, let me ask you something because you were on the proponent side. If you ended up with Nick Chubb, you'd be trying to not play him here or wait and see what they do or how it's looking, or like what do you think about that?
I think if I want to take a shot, I may need to start Chubb this week. I mean, it just depends on who you got, right? Like, you Chubb you drafted Chubb at value at a great value based on a an RB, one on his team's value. So I think it could be a good opportunity to plug him in if, again, it makes sense. Like, give me an option. Like, would I start, Chubb over this
Well,
person?
we kept naming like the lower end running back shots. So Tyrone Tracy, the Tyrone Tracy was probably
I'd
that's
probably
probably a good
start Tyrone
barometer.
Tracy over Chubb this week.
Okay.
I would start Chubb over Stevenson, though.
Okay.
I would start
Well, Stevenson's like the
I would
backup.
think I would I, and this is maybe a higher one. I would maybe think about starting Chubb over Pollard.
Oof, that's a bit high.
It
Pollard
is
get the whole
high.
thing to
It is
himself.
high, but it is high, but based on the situation, we literally just discussed the Denver Broncos situation. They're a great defense. They're going to put a stop on the run. So why wouldn't I feel comfortable with starting Chubb over Pollard?
Because the difference is negligible when it comes to the teams, and Chubb is not as good a back as Pollard, and Chubb is likely to be splitting some time way more than Pollard is. Like it's yada yada. It's down the list of reasons why.
You don't got faith in Joey Chestnut?
No. Other options here. I would be staying away from the tight both of the tight ends. Quarterback side, Stroud. Again, he's so far down the list, but wait and see. Maybe he surprises us. And Stafford. Stafford's great. He's got the back issue, which has made us petrified of all the options in the Rams. He's a streaming option in general. Maybe this is not the game for it. The question is, The question is only if you think he's going to throw some touchdowns, because he's not giving you any rushing upside. So a lot of times he'd be throwing lots of yards and the receivers are beneficiaries, but then Kyren goes and walks in the end zone.
Yeah.
So I would personally, I'd be staying away from it. Yeah. So take your shots as you will. So let's move on to one of the biggest games of the week. This is a weird game and I have to get your opinion on this. So we got the Detroit Lions at the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay are the favorites there, -2.5 points. The over under there is a nice 47.5 points. So here's the deal. You got the 25 implied points total for the Packers in a nice over under game. It's going to be big. The only must start we've got here is Josh Jacobs. We got lots of options you could start for Green Bay, but in a game where you've got that high of an over under and stuff, we can only identify Jacobs. So we'll get to the options in a second. On the Detroit side, Jahmyr Gibbs, you're playing him, and Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're playing him. I
I'd
want
be
to.
fine. I'd be fine with starting, basically plugging in Montgomery if needed.
If I want to get it, again, this is another game that I like. It's similar to like the Atlanta
I also
game.
think that there's an opportunity to basically plug in Jameson Williams.
I agree. I agree. I would
100%.
be trying to get in. I would be trying to get in my guys into this game. Matt Golden. I mean, if you took that shot, it's one of the kind of games that you're going to go for, especially with the Jaden Reed Jones thing, Watson out. Yeah, I mean, I would go for it if I can. You judge your other options as they are. I mean, in a game like this, you try to get as many shots. It's similar to the Atlanta game. Laporta, if you drafted him where you drafted him, you are probably playing him. I wasn't so much of a fan of it, but again, where you drafted him, it is what it is. Tucker Kraft, probably, right? In a game like this where your applied points total is as high as it is, go for it. I mean, I don't see why not. You mentioned Montgomery. I want to see how the new offensive regime handles the dual running back situation before I jump into that.
Well, I mean, it's not really also, I think, coaching, is, he's going to continue to do, you're not going to fix something that's not broken. So,
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
and if Dan Campbell has a say in this, which I'm pretty sure he does, he's not he like his probably his rule was, we are not fixing the running game situation. There's nothing wrong with it. Joe, not do not fix it, or you're not coaching as my offensive coordinator here,
Who wins this game?
bro. This is a crapshoot, man. I think this is gonna be a fun game to watch. Unfortunately, and it is a 4:25 game. I feel, I mean, there's some really, really great games. I think this should have been the Monday night game, to be honest. But I see. I mean, I took Detroit. I took Detroit. They are the underdog. I think Detroit's defense got better. I think Green Bay has some chemistry to develop on their defense. I don't think it's just really Parsons comes in and plugs. And plays great. I mean, he's going to play good, but I think there's a lot of fixing, and especially with the wide receiver room, the pass catching room in Green Bay. I think they have it better, a better system in Detroit. I think honestly, Detroit wins this game by 10.
I was looking at the stats. This is one of the only games. It's like one of the very few games in the last 2 or 3 years that Detroit has actually not been favored,
I know,
which is
and
amazing.
I would take the underdog on this one, 100%.
All right, let's go to the Sunday night game. We've got the big game here, biggest over under of the week. We've got the Baltimore Ravens at the Buffalo Bills. Baltimore, the road favorites, -1.5 points. The over under there is 50.5 points. I want as many pieces in this game as possible, and we'll get to questions in a minute. So the Ravens side, it's pretty easy. You're playing Derrick Henry and you're smiling to yourself as you do so.
Yep.
You're playing Mark Andrews, again, would likely out, rock and roll with Andrews, and you're playing Lamar Jackson. If I drafted Zay Flowers, I'm probably playing him. On the Buffalo Bills side, James Cook, you're playing him. Josh Allen, you're playing him. Mr. Tom Lang, I want you to tell me which Buffalo receivers I should play, if I should play any of them.
I probably wouldn't play anybody this week.
Amazing in a game like this, we're not going to play any
I probably
Buffalo receivers.
wouldn't play anybody, but that just also goes to, I feel really good about Cook, that running game. And also he's going to get some receptions as well too. He's going to get some screen dump offs. I think is a great opportunity there. if I was forced to say which wide receiver, I'd probably go Keelan Coleman.
I would too, only because of the Khalil coming off of the high ankle sprain. So I'm a bit I
I'd
like
probably go
I
Keenan
want to see
Coleman.
how that looks.
I liked what I saw with Palmer, Joshua Palmer, but
He's always there,
I
yeah.
want to see it in full game speed before I feel comfortable with it. Now, the problem is, when you start feeling comfortable about it, that's when things really start getting really bad for you with Josh,
So for these reasons, I want to call out that I think a great play, and it's one of the things why I was so high on him in the offseason, Dalton Kincaid. This is the kind of game where it could happen. Super talented guy, hasn't worked out so well the last year or so. A lot of stuff coming out of his rookie year too. Like it was a good year, then he had a down year. There's still no alpha wide receiver. This is a chance for him to assert himself in a game that's a 50.5 point over under. I have no problem throwing in Dalton Kincaid into this game. So again, you heard what Tom, like both me and Tommy, we mentioned the wide receivers were like, eh. So that's a good likelihood for a good pass catching tight end like Dalton Kincaid to go for it. Any interest in taking a shot on Bateman? Or is this you wait and
Oh,
see?
Bateman's gonna score a touchdown.
We think he'll
I
do it at the
mean,
most inopportune
what do you?
times.
I mean, I know we haven't spoken about him at all, but what do you think of DeAndre Hopkins in the system? Is he just like a decoy, or
I think it's done. Yeah, I
I,
think
you,
the
so it was
train's
just
over.
like kind of like a novelty signing?
Sure, he'll get like he's gonna have at least one game where he has like one or two touchdowns, and
So is it is so is
everybody
so.
on sports media is gonna be like he's back. And no,
So
it.
do you think it's like, DeAndre Hopkins was signing with the team that he feels is the highest value to basically win a Super Bowl again?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So try to get your hands on players in this game if you can. You judge your options as you can. Let's go to the Monday night game. So they did this game mostly because of the
Monday,
quarter,
Monday,
mostly
Monday.
because of the quarterbacks. Otherwise, I agree. They could have put Detroit Green Bay here. But we've got the Minnesota Vikings at the Chicago Bears. Minnesota are the road favorites, minus 1.5 points. The over under there is 43.5 points. So Vikings side, you are playing Justin Jefferson and you're playing TJ Hawkinson. Bears side, you're playing DJ Moore. How do you feel about the running backs on both of these teams?
I think it's a wait and see approach. I mean, obviously, I feel like, if you have Mason or Jones, on the Minnesota side, you're probably playing them. I don't think you're sitting Mason or Jones. I think Mason, has more of the touchdown appeal, than Jones does. But I think it probably is going to start as a 60-40 split where Jones gets the higher volume. For PPR, half point PPR, Jones is going to have some value with little dump off passes. So I think it's a good opportunity to basically plug him in. I don't think, I think either one of them is going to have RB2 numbers. So I think that is their kind of their ceiling. I don't think they're going to be top guys that I'd be oohing and Ron, this week to basically plug them in.
I'd be trying to not play any of these guys. I got it.
Yeah.
Like where you
I
drafted
think though
Jones or
Swift,
Swift,
I think
maybe.
if I had if you know and again if I had Jones, if I'm looking for a Monday night miracle and I have Jones, I have Mason and I have Swift, I would lean to probably start Swift over those two guys or two other guys.
Okay.
I
I would
think
be.
Ben Johnson is going to show a lot of value in creativeness in that offense and early on, I think that Swift is going to have more value in that offense than, the passing game.
Tight end for the Bears. So Kmet's been declared the starter and Loveland's the backup. I think they both get work, which means that both of them are not valuable. So, and with all the other options in Chicago, I would be completely hands off there. Speaking of which, Adunze, he's a option. He's a high floor flex, sorry, high ceiling flex option, but I think the floor is too low. And again, in this game
Yeah.
where there's a lower kind of a lower over under, I'd be waiting. I wouldn't be so crazy to do that.
Yeah, this isn't the 2000 Patriots of tight end situation. Let's just, they're not to that caliber.
And both of the quarterbacks to me are wait and see here. I mean,
2010, sorry.
we have a lot of good feelings about both of these guys, JJ McCarthy and Caleb Williams, as pocket passers, but lower over under. There's going to be some, troubles along the way. I would stay away. Just, I mean, first of all, a lot of people, if they drafted Caleb Williams, they want to get him in here. If I'm not going to fault you if you do, but it's probably not going to be the prettiest game in the world. I feel like there's better options with bigger upside, like Joe
Yeah,
Flacco.
it's Minnesota has a good, very, very good defense.
Yes.
So I mean, but again, they have broken. They bend and they break sometimes. So
Yes.
just depends on which team wants to show up. And it is in Chicago. So
Yes. So there we go. That's the week one slate. And I just want to bolster the point that we mentioned in our waiver show or our undrafted gem show. Like, this is week one. So you play the guys that you went out with your hard-earned time and energy and your heart and you play them. You spent the effort to go get those guys that you were excited about. You play them. Very, very few guys of the guys that like we're calling out, it's like, okay, play this guy over that guy that you spent more draft capital on. So 90 to 95% of the time, you know the guys that you're going to be playing. So don't overthink it. Like even on the waiver, the undrafted show, it doesn't mean that you just drop people to pick up different guys. It's week
yeah.
one. So you went with your heart. You got to follow through with whatever the plan was, like we are with Dak Prescott, for example.
Yep.
So, end of the show, I wanted to say that every single week I want to do something where I pick out the underdog that I think is going to win the game and that I would happily spend the money on. And so I kept calling out Atlanta. Atlanta are the underdogs by 1.5 points. They're home underdogs. I believe in Atlanta this year. I think they're winning the division personally. I think Atlanta wins that game for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I would win that game. They're in the plus, so it's a good bet for you guys. I want to do that every week, and so I'll start with this week. So my pick is the Atlanta Falcons, and I know Tommy's got some betting stuff he wants to
Yeah,
mention.
and I'm basically gonna be the prop bet kind of like
Yeah.
bring to the table. So I actually have a Thursday night parlay, but then I have anytime touchdown for week one. So my Thursday night parlay is Jalen Hurts. Basically, I took the alternate passing yards positive 225, so over 225 or 225 or more passing yards for tonight. Jake Ferguson, anytime touchdown right there. Dak Prescott, 1.5, over 1.5 touchdowns, so two touchdowns passing. And Saquon Barkley, anytime touchdown. Basically that's 10 times odds. So, you could basically, throw $100 in there, win $1,000, or put $10 in there, win $100. So, obviously, I'm not advocating you guys basically to make, crazy bets, but I think it's a good one to look at and have fun with tonight. This one I'm really, really, really high on. This is a six legger. Again, you don't have to parlay all these together, but I do think that there's some great value in some of these picks here. So I got this is my anytime six leg touchdown. I got basically Jerome Ford anytime touchdown. Josh Jacobs, anytime touchdown. Jonathan Taylor, anytime touchdown. Christian McCaffrey, anytime touchdown. James Cook, anytime touchdown. And Chuba Hubbard, anytime touchdown. Parlay all those together, it's basically 24 times odds. So, some great opportunity right there. You can make some fun money this weekend. Like I said, I wouldn't throw your entire bankroll on a lot of this stuff, but again, you throw a little bit on, you can make some money this week. Even if you want to kind of like, triple leg it, instead of it being six legs. Six legs sometimes is a little too many legs to have to deal with. So, at times you just kind of want to like go a little bit lighter, but again, I'm having fun this weekend. It's week one. Have fun with it.
Yeah, couple final points I wanted to bring up. So, like we said, we have two major shows that we do every single week of the regular season, and we're so happy to have you guys with us. Tommy handles a nice Sunday live show where we kind of just talk, late rounds, dark
Yeah.
sits.
So basically Sunday Live, what we do is just sometimes Billy does jump on, but atypically I will be running the Sunday Live anywhere from about 12 to 12:15. Atypically I'll start that. I'll be on two different platforms and then upload it to all the other platforms. But basically, we'll be going live on YouTube and TikTok, and I'll be dropping everything. So if you have any start sit questions, if you have any, kind of like, who, when it comes down to the, again, start sit, definitely drop those questions, those comments. I'll answer them at, live as we're discussing. Probably be about a 15, 20 minute discussion, and then we'll be cutting off, from there, so we can all enjoy week one.
Yeah, and I just also wanted to mention. So, if anybody doesn't know, so obviously, we're on every single platform that you can find us: YouTube, or Apple Podcasts, anywhere that you get your podcasts, TikTok, Instagram. We're all over the place. So, just go and look for Fantasy Football University. Guaranteed, you'll find us. We appreciate everybody for being with us, and we're so excited for this season.
Yes. So if you could please share, subscribe, and tell everybody, everybody that wants to win their fantasy football season, let's get it.
Let's go get it. Thank you, everybody.